Good morning, everybody. Thank you for joining us today. I bring this meeting officially into session. So the agenda
this
for
call
today
is now being recorded.
Really quickly, I think everybody should have it already on the website. Oh goodness, come on. All right, so the first presentation is for Tammy Roker, an update on the potential for grant opportunities for the board. Tammy, do you have what can you share with us today?
I have laryngitis. I've been sick since Monday.
Oh dear, sorry.
I sent an email to you about what we need as far as information to get the grant writing. I'm sorry, this is so frustrating.
Yes, would you rather I share or and then you can just confirm? Would that be better? Okay, so you don't strain your voice. Okay, so let me pull up your email briefly here. Well, okay. So Tammy provided a template that she has used in for her own nonprofit in the past, and it is a template format that has all sort of the basic questions, purpose, vision, what will the funds be used for, I'm opening the actual document here. And so goals and objectives, the methods of how we're going to be implementing the different projects for the funds, and then how will we be evaluating, and then if we would have future funding needs, it will require a budget, identifying any other funding sources, and then some ancillary things if there will be contracts and so forth. So looks like a fairly straightforward template that we can use to fill out all of those different areas, and so that there's clarity around what we would be using the grants for. So is there anything that else that you want to add about your template that and the fact that we think that that's a good starting point for the projects?
The needs statement of how the funds would be used, then you can't really go beyond that.
Right.
And so there's lots of campaigns that we could do even within our community where, like if every massage therapist gave $1 a month or something like that too is an idea besides grant writing. But I also need to know like how the funds would be collected and where they would be going to know that they're protected. It's not a 501c3, so like I don't know how to ask for that. That's what the template kind of has, all the blank spots that need to be filled in order for me to write a grant.
Absolutely. Thank you for that. Well, and some of the thoughts that I had since reviewing that template and today's meeting is, I think that the next step is that we ask Mr. Augerton to put onto the board meeting agenda for the next time that the board actually wants us to go through this project, and because they will either need to assign us the task of proposing needs and projects, or they will have to identify specifically which projects they would like funded. So I feel like the next step for us now that we know that we, by by rule or statute, we can actually accept donated funds, and we have the beginning format for creating some projects. And we've discussed in our last meeting some of the potential uses for those funds. So I think at this point, before we do any more work, we need to make sure that the board actually approves that they want to try to obtain funds for certain projects. Any thoughts or discussion around that idea or need? Okay, great. So, Mr. Arterton, can we add that to the agenda?
Sure. I'll run that by the chair, and we'll add that for the next meeting, which is in May, on the agenda. I think that's a good proposal. So.
Great.
And the Assistant Attorney General is on this line as well. He's provided some preliminary discussion on the issue, but we'll have to obviously vet this further with he and with our accountants, which is CSB, which is part of DOA. Not to drop all these acronyms, but between the AG's office and the administrative folks, we'll have to do more research on the one thing that's required if it's going to be with the state is that it must be filed with the state comptroller and with the state treasurer, and it would be going through. We don't have accounting personnel, so we work with the Department of Administration. So we'll have to do the research on the logistics, and then we'll stay in touch with Casey at the AG's office to see how this could be crafted. But okay. Yeah, you get this run before the board in about 4 weeks.
Okay. Wonderful. In the interim, I suppose we could investigate some other, you know, should they want to move forward, where would we might actually even get any grants? And I think the general consensus was that it was for, you know, education predominantly. So we're looking for, sources that would fund for something like that. So we can potentially work on developing just a brainstorming list of places or organizations that do donate so that we can also have that ready.
I have a short list.
Excellent. Thank you. Thank you very much. Okay, so the next item on the agenda, I believe, is Ms. Stephanie Rodriguez. Stephanie, can you please give us, are you able to share your screen with that draft handout that you emailed over?
I wish I could, but I don't have it on this computer. I was going to ask you if you could share.
Oh, okay, sure. Let me try to pull it up. Why don't you, if you wouldn't mind, start letting folks know what you're spearheading here.
Yeah, so last time that we met, we talked about doing a handout that would go out to our schools and our businesses, industry professionals, about the Essentia rollout. So I just developed a template in Canva, sent it over to Mara, and then we just need to kind of figure out what needs to go on there and get the specifics filled in for that. So,
gotcha.
Yeah, if you want to show that, that'd be awesome.
Yeah. Let me see if I can actually do that. I have the, it's a basic flow chart here. So let's see, present now. And, okay, so it won't let me, oh, window. I don't actually see another window here. Oh dear.
Yeah, if you open up the document and then go to present and window, it should do it.
I do. It's just it's in my email, so it's not showing up. I think I have to open it.
Yeah.
I need to download it first here. Sorry. Dun, dun, dun,
no. Do.
Okay. All right, there we go. Let's try again. There we go. All right, share. No?
It's showing us.
Oh, is it showing you?
It looks like you're showing
Yeah. It's right. It's showing the meeting. It's not actually showing the actual document. Okay. Well, let me just try one more time, folks. Sorry. It's a tab. Maybe if I tell it to share a tab instead of a thing.
Window. Yeah, it's in the window.
From tab. Here, hold on. I think this is it. Okay. There we go. Done. Is that working for us all now?
Yes.
Yes. Okay.
All right, great. So, this is great for the, you know, potentially the rollout, as you were mentioning. Mm-hmm. I think this can be a theme for a variety of different topics, right? Because we talked also about like initial, just having a sort of a step by step for schools, so that the students can self navigate. And just applying forever, whenever, you know, so before CINCEA and after, so both, and then also other things they might need to know that perhaps would be included in this would be bullets for their CEs for attending board meetings and some talking points about why being involved with the industry is good for them and the industry and the public at large. So I think in terms of the CINCEA rollout, we don't have anything that we can add at this moment in time because we don't have, we haven't started beta testing. Mm-hmm. But what I can say is that Tony shared at our last meeting that even though they'll be going quote unquote dark and back to paper for that 1 month, what we can do as an initiative before then doing some outreach across the state is to make sure that everybody knows to get their applications in prior to July 1st, now that this new rule exists that they can apply up to 120 days prior to graduation. So I think if we make one handout about that, and then once we have once we've tested CINCEA and we know what the application looks like, then we can, you know, do something for after that.
Okay. Yeah. If somebody could just kind of send me like some verbiage that they want on that. The second page has kind of like that bullet point. And then there's a note on the bottom. I wasn't sure of the exact month on there, so I'll change that. June 1st is what needs to be on there.
No, it's going to be late in the calendar year. And we're going to have a presentation later by Stacey Haggart. And I think you're looking at third or fourth quarter of this calendar year. And I don't know. Stacey can provide more detail.
Yeah, that was just for this one Mara was talking about, though, about getting applications in prior to certain time. I think she said June 1st, but I just wanted to confirm.
No, that's actually up and running right now. We do that immediately following the board vote.
Okay.
Anybody who is in school and wants to send in a fee and an initial application can do so with their hard copy SD-258 card in order to start that process.
Okay.
And that's up on the website.
Okay.
And the projected date that was shared last time was July 1st is when we were thinking that they were going to go dark, right? Is that still what you're estimating?
No, I don't think that's accurate. I think we'll defer to Stacey until she gives her presentation.
Okay.
But
okay, perfect.
Given the fact that I don't think we're anywhere yet, and I don't want to predict what Stacey's briefing is, but I think we're looking at later in the calendar year.
Okay. Well, it seems like this is a good time for Stacey to maybe share with us.
Sure, yeah.
Talking about the product. Tell us everything we need to know, please.
Thank you, Mara. I appreciate the opportunity to be here with you all this morning. I am Stacey Haggart. I am a consultant working for Gould Intelligent. I work with Tom as his trusted advisor on this endeavor with CINCEA. We have been working with CINCEA and thus far, what they've done is they've gathered the board's requirements, and they have created a site, a beta site, for us to go through and find all of its flaws. So we have done that thus far, and we've provided that to them, and now they've actually started going through that documentation and correcting the issues that we found. We are awaiting a cadence with them to start going through all of the revisions that they have done. And we are going to meet with them starting this Friday to initiate that kickoff. We have requested from Ventia a new timeline because they had to prioritize the other boards that were on Salesforce, and because all of their portals, Salesforce portals, were going away. Since this board is not on Salesforce, they're heads down working on getting those other ones done. So when they're able to segue off into us, which we are anticipating this Friday, they are aware and they fully understand that our expectation is an updated project timeline so that that can be reported back to this body with some intelligence.
Mara, you're muted. I'm sorry.
Great. Thank you for that, Stacey. Appreciate
you're
that.
You're welcome.
What I was stating was we are not the massage board. We're just an advisory committee that's a group of volunteers to assist in any way that the board might need for just some extra, man, woman power.
Sure.
So, that said, one of the things that I know has been a concern for the industry specifically is the actual application itself and somebody doing like an application review to make sure that our application is the best that it can be and maybe using some models from other states. So do you already have applications from other states that might have been using this product? Other people that have worked for massage therapy applications specifically by chance?
I can take that back to Ventia and get back to you. They have been doing implementations in other states,
mm-hmm.
and other states would also have massage therapy boards, so
right.
they would have to have that. But primarily what Ventia has is an out-of-the-box product that we have to go in and then
right.
put some customization around to make
right.
it work for this
yeah.
particular board. So regardless of which board you are, the workflow is going to be the same. Not all of the questions are the same because they won't pertain to the same each board. They will be specific to massage therapy.
Right.
The difference, one noticeable difference that people will see is now the license types are broken out. So people will apply for their initial licensure or they will apply for a renewal. There's just three different tiers or so for them to choose from. And it will be delineated on there which one they should be using, but it's very different than what is presently online.
Right. So I've actually had the opportunity to use Ventia with one of the other Arizona State Massage Boards.
Okay.
I believe that the chiropractic board already has it.
Very interesting, yes.
And so one of the things that I noted about interacting with that software specifically is that all reply emails actually come from some other email address other than the chiropractic board's email address. Is that a customizable feature that we will be, so that every communication actually says massage board AZ as opposed to?
I don't know why chiropractic is looking like that, but we have other boards that coming from a proper email address.
Okay. That would be great. Cause that was one of the things, that the licensees were not finding communications because it was coming from another email address.
Gotcha. Yeah.
A third party out of the box product. Sometimes they don't have the ability to customize that sort of thing. So, I just wanted that kind of noted now that we don't want to create
sure.
that level of confusion of people having to have yet another email address in their contact book.
I can understand. And chiropractic, I believe, was one of the early adopters, and there were a lot of kind of bugs that needed to be worked out with some of those early adopters. That could be one of them.
Gotcha. So I wanted to kind of just note that for project management. Like, I think that that's something that's very important to the industry, is that any communications with the software look like they're coming specifically from the massage board, not from right. some. Because as it is, you go in and then you have to go to a site outside of the board to pay and do stuff. And
yeah.
Confusion of going back and forth
right.
between the two sites is already challenging enough for people who are tech challenged. So
this will be integrated. So it will look like they're doing it through massage therapy board. They won't go to another website.
Excellent. And does that include for payment as well?
Yes.
That's very nice. So that seems like that's an improvement from other sites. So
yes.
Wonderful. So are there any other customizable components of this software that we as the industry should have any kind of input in, or things that you think from your experience are noteworthy points that we should be preparing for now?
That's a very good question. Thentia likes to use its canned modules. Mm-hmm. They will allow you to customize it. As long as it's not just a full-on brand-new development module for them to do. Mm-hmm. And most of their modules are highly configurable. What they were doing early on is trying to force boards into the format that they have in their CANT module. But the state has done a great job of pushing back to say that's not acceptable. Here's what we really need, and here's the order we need it in. So Cynthia's done a much better job of trying to help conform their product to the needs of the board. If it's just so different, you know, we'll have to revisit that, but we'll find a way to make it work until it's redone. If it requires additional cost, that will be something that Tom and I will discuss, and then he will present it to you and to his board as to whether or not it makes sense to move forward with it.
And I don't want to assume, so forgive me, but
you're fine.
Assuming that with this package, the board staff will now have the ability to do mass communications to all of the licensees.
Yes. So that was not something that Cynthia had before, but they are telling us that they do have that now.
Okay, great. So that way we'll have a much better mechanism in which to share pertinent information with all of the licensees.
That is our understanding.
Gotcha. Okay, great. And not that we want to necessarily go out to the public and
right, but there are times.
Well, no, I meant non-licensees. So
okay.
the actual public for some reason or another. Not that I don't know how or why the board would need to do this, but does it have the ability to have sort of a separate database? So you have people who are licensees and then people who are just associated parties, perhaps, or something like that. Is there a way to designate in the software?
Mostly what is there is for licensees only. If a third party designees need to be in there that we need to be capturing, we probably need to be discussing that as to whether or not that's a requirement that needs to be fulfilled.
Gotcha. I'm thinking about people who file complaints, for example, or people who have inquiries about becoming licensed, or, you know, so anyone who's not yet a licensee but has some interaction with the board, that their mm-hmm. data can be captured in such a format so that they can be easily, we can easily reach out to them again in the future should we need to for some reason or another. I don't know why, like I said, why we would, but when you're building a database, it's better to think of all the things at the ground zero.
Correct. There is a complaints module. So if there were a complaint to come in, that would be captured there.
Gotcha. Okay. So we would be able to track records of, does it interact at all with a phone system so that you can track?
Yeah.
Okay. So there's no call monitoring and stuff like that. Okay. Okay, so I think those are all my tech questions. Any computer conversions in the past, in previous lives or current?
Yeah, sounds like you've done this before.
Not my first rodeo.
Yes.
Anybody from the advisory committee have questions for Stacey? All right. Well, thank you so much for your time. I appreciate
you welcome.
Meeting today. Yeah. That was very, very helpful.
You're very welcome. Thanks for, again, for the opportunity. Have a great day and a great weekend, everyone.
Thank you. You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay. So I believe the next item on our agenda is a quick update from Mr. Augerton about our working with the representatives for a bill.
Thanks, Madam Chair. I want to remind everybody that the industry will be deregulated on July the 1st of next year unless there is intervening legislation introduced this fall and dropped in the hopper in January of next year and assigned to standing committees in both chambers. So we have a meeting next week with Representative Contreras and staff to start that process. We've asked for her authority to open what's known as a folder at Legislative Council, which is the first part of the bill drafting process. And then when the attorneys are drafting with pretty much boilerplate language, and we'll leave the proposed date blank, because that will really be a legislative decision if in fact they're going to continue the regulation of the industry. So that number would be blank. In the old days, sunsetting was for 10, 8 or 6 years. The current practice of the state legislature with the current players is 2 years, but we need to have an extension introduced and approved next session. Otherwise, the industry will be completely deregulated by July the 1st. While the attorneys are doing that, we're suggesting for a statutory review of Title 32 and the sections that pertain to the board for the purpose of looking at structural updates that have been done piecemeal over the years in the full Arizona revised statutes sets for the last 23 years. And then we will add language to the bill that was discussed and included in House Bill 2169, which is codifying the 700 hours of required initial education, where it's currently 500 in statute and 200 in rule. This bill draft would have 700 in statutes, and that would eliminate the need for the duplicity of the rule. And I'm sure there's going to be an inclusion, depending on what the board finally decides, on mandatory MLECs for all applications. And then the third part of this discussion is going to be on the compromising of the license, which has been a traditional problem for the industry. And I think it's fair to say that it's been an exacerbated problem the last few years with the loss of the English testing requirement under TOEFL and TOEIC. That's no longer required, with the loss of MLECs being required in the state of California. And now in the last few months, we're looking at efforts around the country from interests that have nothing to do with the health aspects of the industry, attempting to be licensed through subterfuge. And Alcinia, I'm not sure if she's still on the call here. Yeah, she is. She brought up an issue this week, which is being researched with the Federation, and then we're going to research it with the AG's office. We've always known that individuals who don't have 700 hours of accredited training, because they could have come from other states, the advice the board has provided to them is to transfer their prior work into a known institution that's accredited here in the state of Arizona, see what that school will accept in terms of qualifying curricula, and then completing the missing hours for a final graduation in the state with 700 hours. Now, what we're researching is, does that remove the requirement for the MLEX exam? Because, in fact, their diploma is from an Arizona-based institution, even though the vast majority of their education came from outside the state. So it's an interesting question. And I think it was honestly an attempt by individuals initially to try to come to the state and also raise their compliance requirements. It is now part of a testing scheme where people are attempting to avoid the MLEX, particularly coming from California, but now from other states like Massachusetts, where MLEX is not required. So Arizona's always been a ticket to ride, And it still has a value for individuals who want the license to have portability, even before interstate compacts, to the primary places where we have trafficking and prostitution, which is Texas and Florida. So it really comes back to the initial issue of, are we going to do a statutory review and look for best standards compared with other licensing applications and standards from states around the country? And then when you have these types of issues, which I think began as legitimate questions, to make sure that they are the exception, not a new bypass to the requirements set forth by the state legislature in the license. So the timing of all of this is very critical. But I just want to remind everybody that all of this is an academic and moot argument. If this industry doesn't have continuation for regulation past July 1st of next year.
Great. Well, thank you. Thank you for that. So just to kind of get back to the beginning, you have a meeting next week with the...
Next Tuesday with Representative Contreras to request these next permissions to move forward.
Great. And I do know that she was amicable to the idea of championing something for us when we spoke earlier this year. So just if you could give us briefly, so what is the timeline for once you meet with her, the language is drafted, when is it submitted, and what do we need to do for us as an advisory committee and or the industry, what do they need to do to so that we can bring awareness about this bill coming forth and helping to get it passed?
Well, nothing at this time, Madam Chair, because remember, we're dealing with a bipartisan environment in both chambers, and I'm working with a partisan minority member.
Mm-hmm.
And if she agrees to do these requests of the board, I have an obligation to brief the majority caucuses in both chambers,
right,
and inquire to see if they have an interest in co-sponsorship or participation. I don't want to be presumed that we are working with one caucus only to
right.
attempt to maintain regulation here in the state. So this is just the first step. This action, if she agrees or someone else agrees to do this, would take place during the summer. And then the final version would be vetted back with the sponsor, or the authorizing holder person, which would be Representative Contreras. But the intended sponsor would then receive the intro set prior to do anything with it, and of course copies would come back to the board and the industry. But that first piece is nothing more than a one-page bill,
mm-hmm.
which reverses the effect of the sunset statutes and reauthorizes the continuation of the board for a blank period.
Right.
A secondary document will be a red line of existing Title 32 and proposed changes in existing statute recommended by Ledge Council. And then the third component, which would be in that draft, which is being proposed through Representative Contreras by the board, are statutory changes that have been discussed
right.
during the process of opposing House Bill 2169. At some point, really after next Tuesday, I will get back to Representative Dunn and his staff while keeping the ninth floor aware of the board's activities. So no one is not being communicated with simultaneously as this proceeds. But the process from next Tuesday going forward will be over the summer and the language
mm-hmm.
being finalized by late summer. And if there is pre-introduction where there is co-sponsorship to Representative Contreras's bill, then that would take place in late fall, early winter. And the bill can be pre-filed this calendar year, but it would not be assigned to standing committees in either chamber until after the session begins, which is the second Monday in January in the new calendar year.
Okay. So really we won't have any information about, nothing will actually be, all the language drafting will be happening, but it won't actually be presented up for any kind of approval at the very earliest of January of 2025?
Well, we'll keep the board and this advisory group apprised on a monthly basis, certainly starting with whatever happens next Tuesday,
mm-hmm.
but we won't have anything to look at for, I would think, 1 to 2 months, because they're still in live session, and the attorneys over there are drafting all the amendments in conjunction with House legislative and Senate legislative staff. So this would be an off-session priority to open a bill folder and have drafting taking place.
Definitely.
So I think you could be looking at 1 to 3 months, even though it's a simple one page.
Right.
I don't think it prioritizes sufficiently during session
right.
to be something that would be taken care of sooner than later.
Okay, sounds good. Sounds good. Okay. Thank you for that update. So I want to jump back for just one quick second as a segue into the next item, and that is to address Stephanie Rodriguez's handout, because we spoke with Stacy, and then we didn't come back. I apologize. So I think that what can happen is outside of this meeting, committee members can work together with Stephanie, and we can draft language for these handouts. And since there won't be another board meeting until May, a full board meeting, I would like to, as a goal, submit these handouts to the board for approval in May as well. So that would potentially be another agenda item, the two things. So that way we would then have the go ahead to start distributing that, that information once it's sanctioned by the board. Is that, an agreeable plan for everybody on the committee?
That works for me.
Perfect. Okay. And Tom, will that be okay?
Sure. Yeah. Okay. Whatever I get from Stephanie and so forth. And we'll copy back to you, Madam Chair, obviously.
Great. So we'll just plan on this advisory committee having some time on the agenda in May to be able to get our items approved so we can move forward. All right. Great. Which leads into the next and I think final item on the agenda, which has now been removed from my screen because I was sharing that other document. And that is the idea of the industry having some kind of summit gathering to assist with this statutory review or other needs. So we had talked previously about Stephanie potentially helping to spearhead that project as well. I'm not sure if she still wants to do that. But before we go on to discussion about that, Tom, if you could just give us briefly, what is it that you, as the board staff and the Arizona Massage Board, what kind of information would you like to see as an outcome of an industry summit to serve or support what you and the board are trying to do?
That's a really good question. And let me just offer you an outline or a set of suggestions. Again, number one, not to continue to press this too hard, but you have no industry regulation after July 1st of next year, which means that every day between now and June 30th, this industry should be doing something in order to have some certainty if in fact you want regulation to continue. And that means there has to be a discussion this summer within the industry. And who is the industry? Well, there are several parts of the industry, and there are national organizations which represent different parts of the industry. Obviously, you all know you have AMTA, and you have a lobbyist that we usually get legislative briefings from at the board level. But AMTA took no position on House Bill 2169. I forget the term that was used at the hearing, comfortably numb or pleasantly indifferent or whatever the expression was. I'm kidding. But AMTA had no position on 2169 this last legislative session. So I did report to you at this last meeting that FSMTD has hired a local lobbying firm who I have not yet met with, but they'll be meeting with board staff, and I'm sure they'll be introduced at the board publicly. So we will have that resource for the first time coming up this fall and next session, which we have not had before. But I would think that, and you don't want your regulators to be structuring an industry summit. Ordinarily, you would have principals from your industry that would come forward, and someone would be in charge as a leader of this consortium. Most industries have full-time lobbyists at the Capitol. So is that AMTA that is the spokesperson for the industry? Or if you blend in NCBTMD and you blend in AMP and the Federation and so forth, it just seems that it would be helpful to have a discussion between the national organizations and the Arizona therapists and then the various other aspects of the industry here, principally the schools, the accredited schools, to see where the industry is. I mean, really basically beginning with, do you want regulation going forward? If you want regulation, what type of regulation do you want? What changes would you want to make different than what we currently have? Obviously, starting with resources, and probably also getting into changing the statutes as they currently appear in Title 32 to perform a different type of requirement. What changes does the industry want that makes it more accessible for its people to be able to stay employed and not have processing delays? A lot of this, I think, has been resolved with the early acceptance of initial licenses from students at the schools. So if somebody gets their application and fee paid, they actually can have the transcript sent and be graduated and working within a very short period of time. I would think less than 2 weeks. So that should be a priority. But there's a lot of different political components to what people want or do not want from industry regulation. And remember that your industry also is composed of people that receive licenses who have never been trained, have never been to a nationally accredited school, do not speak English, and in fact are not performing massage. So there needs to be some discussion about your state license and what do you think your license is doing versus what practically it's also doing. So I just would suggest that this summer when the session's over, it probably could be done in a day, but I would suggest a dedicated day and maybe an hour or two the following day after people have had a chance to reflect on the first day of coming in and finding out what the industry's position is and maybe have people sign off on a shared document or platform or position or whatever, or find out what the therapists want from AMTA nationally and here in the state of Arizona on the next round of legislation that will be taking place in 2025. So the dialogue, I think, represents a chance to recommit to regulation or not, and represents an admission that the license is flawed deeply and that it's not protecting the legitimate therapist who has gone through training and so forth. And in fact, to be blunt, you are not resourced sufficiently in order to serve 31,000 total or 13,000 active in a way that reflects the criticality of this industry to the state as an economic engine, as integral to tourism, as part of the resort industry. I think it's time for the fathers and mothers of this industry, those who have fallen into the position of village elders, to come together and have a frank discussion amongst each other. And I see this as attending if desired, but not in a leadership or dominant way of the agenda or the discussion. You need an industry equivalent of a chamber of commerce. And that effort needs to be the beginning of an annual, in my opinion, suggestion of a day at the Capitol for the rank and file to come in and meet with their elected officials, just like every other industry or special interest, and really mature, because this will not be the last year that there'll be legislation affecting the industry. The special interests that pressure the future of the industry are not coming from within the industry. So that's my suggestion, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Thank you very much. So to summarize, and some points to take away, and again, I feel like we can chat about it briefly here today, but it is something that we could potentially talk about offline and present something, because this is something that isn't necessarily need to be approved by the massage board. This is something that us as industry folks, if we want to do something as an industry. And so to summarize, having the key national players there, AMTA, ADMP, the Federation, having them there to give us guidance, having obviously licensees, schools, maybe even some portion of the public, together to have a think tank, if you will, sort of day. But I do really like this idea, and I think it should be noted that it has the intention of the day at the Capitol kind of an outcome. So not just information gathering, because I think we have a lot of information that's been gathered over the past few months, and we need to keep the conversation going. But it, I think having this idea of the recognition of the maturation of an industry and having representatives who are involved legislatively on a regular basis, who are outside of this committee, I think is you know, kind of an end goal for that, aside from the information that we would gather. So,
Madam Chair,
yes.
The other thing, too, if this event ever takes place, you want to get the active involvement and participation of the Arizona League of Cities and Towns.
Oh, right.
Municipalities are another part of the equation where they replicate, duplicate, and otherwise have requirements. Even though we have one state license, they have the ability to do additional things required of therapists to maintain a license in their jurisdiction.
Mm-hmm.
And I would also extend an invitation to Dr. Rose Sipowitz over at Arizona State University, who heads up the Human Trafficking Task Force.
Mm-hmm.
And then I would involve our Vice Chair, Bailey DeRoos, who represents the Sojourner Center, but is a participant on the coalition of human rights organizations at work, as well as the Governor's Office on human trafficking as well. I mean, you could really get a very rich and qualified delegation of people to participate that talk about the full spectrum of the license and the industry and how the beginnings of dialogue could make a true difference later on in the public's protection, in the industry's continuity, and the individual therapists able to perform even with other things that have not yet been discussed. There is no, Mara, what's the name of the class that is taught in other states that we don't do here yet? Jurisdictional, is it jurisdictional? Arizona doesn't provide jurisprudence or jurisdictional something. Anyway, Arizona should add that curriculum, either voluntarily or make that as a requirement for continuing education.
Mm-hmm.
I really think you could do 2 days and keep it moving and not have it turn into the floor of the United Nations. But I think enough people with a good timekeeper and a good moderator could come out of there with some important findings and produce a report and see if people would want to sign on to that. And that would be the beginning of a position statement or platform before they start up the next session.
Gotcha.
Otherwise, your problem will not be sitting at Cosmo with a hairstylist. Your problem is going to be what's been tried in 3 states in the last 24 months, complete deregulation.
Right. Well, I don't know that anybody wants complete deregulation here, fortunately, but we will definitely take this under advisement as an industry. And so going forward, this will be something that we, the people who work in the industry, can have a conversation about and see if we want to create an event around something like this so that we can provide, again, the end goal for the massage board. And from a legislative perspective, is this document that has been signed off by the industry as what the industry would like to see happen for the future of the industry so that it can be shared with all the lawmakers. I think that that's the cohesiveness that has been asked for all along, is where does the industry stand and are we all, you know, relatively in agreement, you know, on what it is that we want. So I think we will talk about that offline, and we will remove that from, you know, future advisory committee meetings unless we have something to report. But we can talk about whether or not and how we're going to arrange a summit and what that will take to pull that off this summer so that we will have something ready for the fall legislative process. So I'm sorry again, I do not have the agenda right in front of me. Was there, was that the last item on the agenda? Okay. So, are there from the committee members, is there anything that we would like to see added to a future advisory committee meeting? At this moment in time, is there any rock we've left unturned? I'm sorry, was that Garnett? I can't hear whomever was speaking.
Hey, Madam Chair, while you're giving a chance for somebody else to speak, let me just make a suggestion, and I'm going to may head in Alcinia's direction. The attorney has done his own analysis of the current structure of the two applications used by the board, initial and renewal. And Marcia MacArthur, before she left, was doing an analysis of that with the state of Washington. And we're going to need to resume and continue that effort to see if our application form language is really best practices and standard with other regulatory states around the country. As that effort proceeds, if anybody on this group would like to volunteer to review redlining the existing two applications and also be privy to suggestions from the Attorney General's office and others, I don't know that we need to drag the full group into that process, but anybody who thinks they would have an interest in reading red lines, and that would be brought back to this group and then suggested to the board, that's something that really is important that should be proceeding.
I have no problem volunteering to assist with that process and also pulling the Washington state. And it might be even interesting to have Washington, if they are considered to be sort of the gold standard that everyone would like to have happen as a therapist. Anything else that they're doing in terms of their legislation and processes, I'm happy to look into that as well. So I volunteer, and anybody else is welcome to join on the committee.
Sonia is nodding. I think that's a yes.
I can help. Absolutely, I'll help.
Mara, I would suggest that if you're going to look into Washington State, if you contact Julie Onofrio, I can give you her information. But she is, I believe she's chapter president for the AMTA up there now, and she's just a 30-year experienced veteran in massage therapy. She was around when they got their insurance acceptance and everything. Julie knows everything.
Great. That'd be wonderful. She would be maybe somebody that we, if she would be willing to present at some such summit, that would be very helpful as well.
Yeah.
I was thinking about that we need to have Washington State represented there to give us some guidance. Great. Thank you. Well, in that case, if there's nothing else to add, I don't foresee us scheduling another meeting of the advisory committee for a little while yet. We need to get some information from the board, and we have a lot of homework to do. So we can make announcement for a follow-up meeting once we have some actual products to share and information to share. And, of course, after the next board meeting, after they've had a chance to decide whether or not they want us to move forward on the grants, and if they've approved our handouts. So then we'll have more action items to do at that time. In the meantime, we'll look at applications, and we will look at handout creation. And I thank everybody very much for their time today. You know what, Elsini? I'm sorry I cannot let you.
Okay.
We'll add We will add a call to public. But if anybody else who's on the meeting today, if you do have questions and you're not able to speak, please email them to the massage board, and then if necessary, I can help respond if they're unable to respond to your questions. I'll make myself available that way. Or feel free to contact me outside of here if it's a non-official sort of question. I am pretty easily found on the web and through my company, Peaceful Spirit in Tucson. So I'm always available for conversations. All right. Well, then I guess we'll call this meeting adjourned. It's 10:01.